Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Join us every weekday at this time to discuss news, spend time in the Word, and receive answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy. Here we are on Tuesday, February 4th. It's March. March the 4th, and we're already into the end of the first quarter. Boy, time goes, doesn't it? Amazing. It's kind of interesting. And you and I will have, we've been at our leader retreat. We're going to Florida, Key West to have a...
Looking forward to that.
12 couples, and it's going to be warm for us from the north. Mm-hmm. By the way, it was cold skiing when I was with Aiden, but this weekend it's in Colorado, it's going to get New Hampshire cold. It's going to get, like zero as a high and -7 or -8 as a low, you know? And so,
you know, that's colder than us. We're
colder than you.
That.
That's it. Yeah. You're not even getting that. You normally have that, but you're not getting it, but we're getting whacked. So we're getting ready to hunker down and, make sure we have the fires going and, keep it warm. But as we continue our discussion of discerning God's will, yesterday we talked about the prophetic. And the prophetic, by definition, is God speaking to me, but involving other people around me for me to process with them what I'm hearing. And then on the other side of it is for them to have the freedom to talk and speak into us. And let me just say one thing about that. And then we're going to get into this question, which you raised yesterday, of a lot of people are fearful of this process. And rightfully so, because of abuse and misuse and not following what God gives us. But as we open it up to others, is to make sure that the people that we open it up to and with have learned to abide, have learned to hear God's voice, and can adequately have the Holy Spirit use them to speak into us and to help us process things. And what we don't want is just another believer who has good opinions. Because then what we're getting is the flesh. And we're actually being drawn. It's kind of funny because God says, you know, do you fear me? It's kind of a simple statement is if you fear me, which is the beginning of wisdom in chapter one of Proverbs, it means you have a heart to hear what I have to say. And you trust what I have to say and you learn to trust it. If you don't, then you're really fearing life and the natural life. And ultimately you're fearing Satan because he now is directing you into the flesh to thwart my will. So that's why you got to be careful not to just say, well, I'll ask my friends. And by the way, what do you think? I think you should. Actually, you're still trying to figure it out. And you're going to wind up picking, okay, I think that should is good, so I'll do that. And God says, well, you didn't ever ask me. I'll give you one simple example of this. This is a clever one. In scripture, David, who obviously was hearing God's voice and was a man of God after God's own heart and always sought his will, he had some failures with that, but he ultimately sought his will. He says, I think it's a good idea for me to build a temple for God. We're taking him on a tabernacle, and what it was a moving, basically a moving place. And wouldn't it be good if I built God a permanent place, you know, a temple? He goes to Nathan, who is a designated prophet. Okay. Now, a designated prophet in the Old Testament was somebody who was known to hear God's voice and accurately portray God's voice. And remember in Jeremiah, he said, you know what? There's a lot of false prophets out there. They're saying stuff that ain't from me. Because they're not, they're not really a prophet. They're just, you know, human beings that claim to be prophet, but they're not, which by the way, you're going back to your question of fear. We'll talk about that in a second. So he goes to Nathan, designated prophet. Hey, Nathan, I'm going to build God a temple. Nathan said, good idea. Go ahead. This is in 2 Samuel chapter 7, by the way. God says here, Nathan, come here. He says, son, aren't you a prophet? Yes. What does a prophet do? Ask you what you have to say about this?
Yes.
Did you ask me what I have to say about this?
Nope.
No. Sorry. Oops. Sorry. What do you have to say about this? Nope. David isn't going to build me a temple. His son will. And then, by the way, I want you to tell David this. I'm going to bring the Messiah through him. Okay. And God says, you know, the key to prophetic is you have to have a heart to hear what I have to say, because this is about me. God's saying, this is about me speaking, not you.
Right.
You're just a conduit of it. Okay. So that's a key thing, is have people around you. Now, by the way, and this is why we talk about making it public, you're not looking to them to be the answer.
Right.
You're not looking to them even to be completely accurate. It's just, here's what I'm hearing. Now let's walk together. And think about this. We're going to walk together until what?
Until we come to unity and we've heard God's will.
The unity with the Spirit that we know, yep, we got it.
Right.
And so it's not about, I got it. It's rather, let's walk together. So I think I've given the story, you know, of Linda with the condo in Chicago, where I said, I heard God say, what do you think? I don't think so. And it wasn't like, well, you better get with it. Rather, let's together walk, because we know something. What? If we walk together, God will get us his answer that will confirm it, and we'll have people around us confirm it. And how cool is that?
Right.
Why would we not do that? So it wasn't like, no, Linda, you should follow what I say. It's like, well, let's just walk together. I have a heart too. You have a heart too. And by the way, we'll get there, and there's no time limit to it. Let's just go. So he says, I want you to, and we read this in 2 Peter last time, I want you to bring your process of discerning my will public. And as people speak into that and you hear from me, open it up to others and have them participate in your process. And then you serve that same role for other people. Okay, good. Now, as you rightly said, well, people hear that, but they have a fear about this.
Right.
And so you, what kind of fears do you see? And I'll add to it, and we'll talk about it. What do you think are some of the fears?
I hear lots of different things come up from people. One is a fear of being manipulated, you know, that someone is going to try to manipulate their opinion, or they have an agenda in it or something like that. So a fear of manipulation. Another one even comes back to like a fear of man-pleasing is really what it is, of that they are, it's a fear motivated by being a man pleaser, that if someone shares something and then they feel like that's not what God's saying, that they're going to offend the person, or they need to do what somebody else says, or all of these things. So it's a safe place has not been really created to dialogue and to seek God's will and to come from a neutral place. And so anyway, they're afraid to be manipulated. They're afraid of disappointing someone else or not putting weight in something they said. They're afraid, lots of different things. They're afraid, honestly, that if they bring it to somebody else, they may not then get to do just what they want to do. They may not have fully surrendered. I think that one is one that does happen a lot, is maybe you're not fully surrendered to God's will. So you don't want to bring it to the table because you don't really want to hear a challenge to what you are hoping and thinking God is saying, rather than clarity of what he is saying.
Yeah.
So those are probably the three biggest that I've seen.
Yeah. And other ones would be that it would show that I'm not very spiritual, and that I don't want to open this up because it'll show that maybe I'm too in the flesh, and I don't want to be known for that. So I just won't bring it up at all. And then the other fear is that what if we drift into what I call groupthink.
Right.
We all just keep reinforcing the same thing, because nobody really wants to speak up and say, I don't think so. And we wind up in the wrong place anyway. And maybe we shouldn't even because of we're not this good at this, maybe we shouldn't even go down that path, you know,
right.
And I'll just try to figure this out myself. So let's address the fears. One is manipulation. Is it real? Absolutely, it's real. Because people can claim that God said, because they've learned it's a great weapon.
Right.
How do you argue
against that?
Yeah.
Right.
I can manipulate you to follow really what I want you to do. Mm-hmm. And if you don't, I'm portraying that you're coming against God. Mm-hmm. and you'd better do what God says.
Right.
But really what I'm doing is manipulate you. So this occurs, for example, and I've seen this a lot with couples, where one of them will say, God said, and therefore you should.
Right.
And they skip the, I have a couple right now that's going through that, is they forgot the step of, well, what do you think, feel, and believe about this? And let's go together to see what God has to say. Because one of them is using God said as a manipulation. Mm. And really what it is that I want, and I'm just saying God said it so I can get what I want. And people can fall into that pattern. Like, and I'll tell you, you know, there was a famous example of this. Oh gosh, it was maybe 10 years ago. This is a famous television preacher.
Mm-hmm.
And he was trying to raise money.
Mm.
I'm talking about a big amount of money.
Right.
Which always is like, all of us automatically, you better be careful of this one.
Right, right.
Because I want you to give me money. I mean, that's what it was. So it was stated on the air, God told me, if you don't give me $8 million, he's going to kill me and my life's going to be over. Wow. You talk about manipulation.
Yeah.
I mean, it was pure manipulation under the guise of God said, okay, now if I heard that and I see like, that, and it didn't even happen, by the way, people would say, isn't that really what the prophetic is all about? It's just people using God as a crutch to get what they want and manipulation. And is it real? Yep. Is it something that we got to be careful of? Yes. And we'll talk about how to overcome that, but it's a real fear that, you know, and so can you be manipulated because somebody said God said? So in other words, is the statement God said per se, are we to trust that per se?
No.
See, that's the key.
Yeah. And it's that's just the because, biblical, is that you test false prophets, right?
Or you test any
prophecy.
Out.
Yes.
You got to test it out. So that just because somebody says that, matter of fact, this is interesting. Even when I told Linda, here's what I heard about our condo in Chicago. Mm-hmm. I didn't say God said, we got to go do it. I said, here's what I've heard. Now, because if we're going to walk into his will, he'll have to tell you the same thing. So would you go process it? And by the way, where are you at with it? You know, my answer is no. She said, no, I'm not. I don't want this. Okay. I said, are you neutral? She says, no, I'm not. Because. Okay, it's okay. I said, now, before we even process what God does have to say, you have to go to neutrality. Mm-hmm. And I do too. So let's go there, get to neutrality. And then together, we're going to get to what do you have to say about this? Mm-hmm. And if it's God's will, now think about this. If it's God's will, what must he do?
He's got to tell it to both of you.
Both of you.
Yeah.
And confirmed in the spirit, because it's unity, not between us two.
Right, because it's you unity. Can come to unity between the two of you and not be in unity with the Spirit too.
Hey, we could easily negotiate stuff, no problem.
Yeah,
to a settlement, but rather, is this in unity with the Holy Spirit? And the Holy Spirit's job is either to confirm it with a sense of peace and yes, and if not, I'm going to trouble you. Mm-hmm. I don't feel good about this yet. Okay, that's a spiritual thing of your soul. What would have been inappropriate was for me to say, Linda, God said, and because you know I'm spiritual and I hear God's voice, because God said it, you got to go do it.
Right.
Now, that alone, if that's what somebody says to you, run away from that.
Right. Right. There's an agenda there.
Because if I care about God's will, and even if I heard something, I think I heard something, my heart is what?
To get to God's will.
To get to God's will, and I never take on the burden of that I already know the answer before there's been confirmation.
Right.
If I say so, I'm already in the flesh by definition, because I'm using that as God said you should, as opposed to God, I think I heard God said, but let's go walk together to find out. See the difference?
Absolutely.
So
in fact, as you're learning to hear from God and to practice the prophetic, and especially in these group settings and things, one of the things I've always been taught is you need to be very careful with how you present that. You know, when God has spoken to you, that it is not a God said, but it is, I believe I'm hearing this. I'm inviting you to take that and ask God what he has to say for you with what he's presenting to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's it. It's an invitation to take that piece and bring it to God and see what he wants to keep, what he wants to throw out, what he wants to refine, what he's just bringing to the surface to question. It is not the end voice, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So just, you know, like we were talking about, my friend in California who is, you know, facing the fires and the implication to his business. And he was saying certain things. And I said, okay, stop a second. God is telling me to tell you to pay attention. Now, it was, I encourage you to go to God because God will tell you answers and I'll help you confirm it. And the encouragement is if it's God's will, mm-hmm. you'll hear it. And I'll be able to confirm it as opposed to you looking to me to tell you God's will. Mm-hmm. And my heart is that. And I would encourage you now to go spend the time to hear what God has to say. See, if I'm working in the prophetic, that's my encouragement, not God said you should.
Right.
And so one, don't you serve in that role? And two, if people start to serve that in your role, I just say, I'm not going to listen to anything you have to say at this moment.
Right.
Because you're not representing a desire to walk together to get God's will. You're trying to manipulate me.
Right. And there's a verse in the Bible about seeking God's will with others with a pure heart.
Yeah.
Right. And so paying attention to that. I forget where that scripture is. I'll have to find it and bring it back. But that's so important, is seeking with other people who have a heart to go to God, not to present their own agenda, their own opinions. Right.
That's right. That's right. The other thing you talked about was that you fall into pleasing others and you don't pursue it any further. So that somebody who you consider, and this is unfortunate, the Christian church has kind of set up a hierarchy of spirituality.
Right.
Is that, well, the pastor, he's the most spiritual. And then, you know, somebody that leads small groups is spiritual, or somebody's graduated from seminary is spiritual, or they've demonstrated that they think they heard God's voice. And I'm nobody. So if they say, well, okay, I guess I should go along with it because they're more spiritual than me. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to not please them.
Right.
And I fall into pleasing them, even when, and I've had this happen with people who said, you know, my pastor said, but I don't feel really good about that. But I think I should just do it anyway because he said so. I said, well, stop a second. I said, who's inside of you?
The Holy Spirit. Yeah.
What's his job?
To lead you to truth.
Lead you to truth through, yes, it's that you're heading in the right direction, or no, something's off here. He said, well, you got to trust it. Mm-hmm. I said, so you got to trust that. And don't please others just because they said something and you consider them more spiritual than you. Is number one, do you have the same Holy Spirit?
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then I take him to 2 Corinthians 3. God says, your capability is from me, not from you. Mm-hmm. So somebody else isn't more capable than you because it's from me anyway.
Right.
So Billy Graham or Henry Blackaby or your pastor isn't more spiritual than you.
Right. There's not a junior, a senior Holy Spirit. Yeah.
No, it's that you can hear my voice. And when you don't feel confirmed, which is what my role is as a Holy mm-hmm. Spirit, I want you to pursue that with me. And don't accept because you want to go please somebody else, or I consider my wife to be more spiritual than me, so whatever she says goes. Mm-hmm. And actually, she's not even using the God said card. You've just fallen into, well, she's more spiritual, so whatever she says, I'll follow.
And you let her be your Holy Spirit, right?
and she's my Holy Spirit. And so God says, no, I don't want you to please others. And this is brought out, by the way. Go to Matthew chapter 10 and read verses 34 to 38. Matthew 10, 34 to 38. This is where Jesus brings us out.
Sure. It says, do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it.
Yeah. So he says that, and he's using the picture here. He's talking about everybody, but he's saying, you know, the most easiest way to wind up pleasing others is your own family.
Right.
And you get into a pattern of, well, I'll please them, and that's going to be higher priority than me seeking God. Mm-hmm. And God says, well, then you're not worthy of me, is that I need you to seek me first, mm-hmm. over pleasing other people.
Right.
Because my answers may be different than theirs, and my answer will be best and none better. And by the way, if you have the fortitude to learn this, mm-hmm. you're not going to come back against them and say, well, and this is an interesting characteristic of this story, is he said, now, I want you to seek me. In the seeking of me, what I'm going to do is have you invite them to seek me too. Mm-hmm. Not, I heard, right. And you should. See, it's kind of funny.
Right.
Is that don't step it back into now using the God card, mm-hmm. because you did hear what I have to say, is that it's different than what they're saying. And I'm mm-hmm. trying to show you something different. But what I want you to do is invite them to walk with you into it.
Right. And to seek together. I'm reminded of Galatians 1:10. Paul says, for do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. And I think that's an interesting warning, really. I mean, he's just making a factual statement that, you know, if I'm pleasing men, I'm not a bondservant of Christ. But that's a warning in my words, you know, in my thinking of, you know, if I am worried about pleasing men and pleasing the others and that sort of thing, then I am not primary concern of what is God wanting.
Yeah. Yeah, you know? I was telling this one couple, the husband and I were talking, and he was talking about, you know, we're having a hard time with unity. And I said, well, I think you've skipped a step, and that is opening up the discussion of what do you think, feel, and believe about this, and trusting that together you'll get to God's will.
Right.
And I said, I probably, you're not creating a safe place, and your wife mm-hmm. is actually pleasing you, but underneath it all, she's not buying it.
Right.
And he says, yeah, we had a situation lately where we had a decision. I said, I want this. And she said, okay. Mm-hmm. Afterward, she admitted, I didn't agree with that.
Right.
I said, yeah, because she was pleasing you. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, she actually avoided God's will. And you didn't follow God's will because you didn't open up the process mm-hmm. to seek it together without consternation or judgment, because you've already decided what you want to do. And I said, so if you're going to follow God's will, you have to build safety.
Right.
And what I don't want is Linda to please me. Because mm-hmm. if she says, fine, whatever you want, and we don't seek God's will, guess what I'm not going to receive?
God's will.
God's will.
Less, none better, right.
and now we're on paths that are going to have problems, that are going to have mm-hmm. adversity, that are going to have things that aren't working very well. Why? Because we didn't seek it. Why? Because she pleased me first.
Right. And sometimes that pleasing first actually comes from a really good place. Sometimes sure. it's not that it's not a safe place. There's a story Dan and I share when we lead Abide retreats about a miss, and it came from a sweet place. Dan, you know, Dan has a generous heart beyond belief. And so when he actually wants something for himself, it is really hard for me to say no. Because
yeah,
he
sure.
just loves to give to other people. And so years ago now, you've been in our family room. So you have seen the monstrosity that these big speakers are with this.
Yeah.
that he has.
What the heck are those?
So you have seen what I'm talking about. But it was funny. We were in Maryland in this really cool sound store that had just incredible sound systems and had this beautiful room that you could go in and hear music on. You know, the old amps and the little, they look like salt and pepper shakers, but it's this whole different, I forget what it's all called. I don't know all the technical words, but it's an old system with a turntable and this beautiful amplifier and then these speakers that are amazing. And he was head over heels in love with it. He absolutely wanted this, and it was no small purchase, you know, and he's like, oh, I'd really love to get this. And rather than seeking God together on it, you know, that is not a purchase I would have chosen to make nor to decorate around. But his heart being his heart, I wanted to just out of the goodness say, oh, let's just do it. You know, you don't do a lot for yourself. Just do that. And so we didn't seek God on it. I just said yes. Again, man-pleasing out of a good place, but not out of a God place, right? And fast forward to several months later, after it's in the house and already there, and he comes home one day, and unbeknownst to him, because he's not home during the day, you know, I've been playing worship music on it. We've had worship nights, you know, there and used it, and the sound system is phenomenal. But I've got music blaring in it when he walks in the house because he came home early that day. And he's like, oh, it's so nice to see that you're enjoying that too. And God just like bopped me over the head in that moment. He was like, do you see what just happened? For 2 months, he has thought you did that just for him and didn't recognize if we had sought God together on it, I am convinced that God would have actually said yes because of the way that he has used it. But by not seeking him together, there were 2 months of Dan missing the blessing of knowing God actually gifted that to both of us, not I caved and said, put this in our family room. And so the cost of that wasn't, you know, this devastation. It wasn't making all these wrong turns. It was 2 months of more joy and gratitude that God could have had that I costed simply by not taking the time to seek him together on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So and it's on the interesting other that can work in all directions, the man pleasing,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, on the other side of that, with other decisions a couple makes like that, it might have been not the right decision.
Right.
And God said, you know, that you never came to me and asked me. So
right.
The pleasing is something we got to work with. And we're out of time today. We'll pick this up again tomorrow. This is still a great discussion of why are we afraid of this and what do we need to be careful of? Mm-hmm. And how do we handle the different scenarios so that, think of the beauty of it is, I have a heart for God's will. I need people around me with my spouse, my friends, my inner circle that have the same heart. And if we appropriate this together, we won't get into this complication of somebody trying to manipulate me or me falling into what somebody else says just to make it work. So Heavenly Father, we thank you that you say it's if we're worthy, we'll seek you absolutely first above everybody, including those around us. And if conflict exists, it's okay because you're going to help us process that conflict in a healthy way. And so we just pray that we'll learn that we won't fall into the fear of somebody manipulating us or that we just please them just to make it easy when you're trying to show your will to us. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thanks so much, Rich. And thank you for joining us, everyone. If you have questions from today's podcast, be sure to send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. We look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep. We'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.